This is Fresh Air. A lot of detective writers have never hired a detective, let alone been one, but writer Parnell Hall used to be a detective. That's not the only thing he has in common with his main character. They're both failed writers and actors. Well, not exactly. Parnell Hall isn't a failed writer anymore. His eighth Stanley Hastings mystery, Actor, has just been published. Hall also writes courtroom dramas under the name J.P. Haley. Detective work sounds pretty intriguing, but to Hall it was just a job, something to tide him over in between acting and writing. His work as a private eye wasn't anything like what he'd read about in fiction. He told me what his work was like.
You know the lawyers who advertise on TV? You know, you have an accident, fall down, dial us, we will come to your home, no fee, unless we get a settlement?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I worked for a detective agency that serviced them. And so what we were handling were negligence cases. People would trip on a crack in the sidewalk, fall down, call the lawyers. No self-respecting lawyer was going to go running around to their houses as they were advertising. They would hire detectives to do so. And I would come in a suit and tie and investigate these things, sign them to retainers, and go out and take a picture of the crack in the sidewalk that tripped them. And that was basically the job. And that's 90% of the private detective actual business that is done.
So what are some of the things besides cracks and sidewalks that you had to take pictures of for documentation?
That was mostly it.
Really?
Yeah. Occasionally there would be a subway, it would be an automobile accident. If I had to investigate a murder, and I sometimes did, I wouldn't care about who did it. What I would care about would be the broken lock on the front door that allowed this person to get in. So it would be a question of not who was guilty, but who could you sue?
Right. So would you call your work part of a pretty sleazy operation?
It was kind of, this is the McDonald's of the legal profession, you know? And when I wrote my first book, and I started writing my first book as soon as I began this job, what I really based it on was something from my acting work. Years earlier, I was in a movie, and I was playing a cop, and we were finding a body down by the riverfront. Of course, we didn't get changed there. They were doing wardrobe out of a brownstone in Chelsea. And I went there and I put on my policeman's uniform. And now I'm waiting on the sidewalk out front for the Teamster to arrive and drive me to the set. So I'm standing there. A man comes running up to me. He says, "You got to help me. My girlfriend's been kidnapped." You know, and my mind is blown because I'm about to play a scene in a movie. And, you know, I'm thinking about that. And I said the worst thing I could possibly have said to him. I said, "I'm not a cop." And the guy just looked at me like, "How can you be standing there in a uniform telling me this?" And he cursed at me and ran off down the street. And that was the basis for my first novel that I wrote 2 years later. I had a similar situation of a man comes into the private detective's office and tells his big story about how he got involved with drug runners and he ripped off some of the cocaine and now they're after him and they're trying to kill him and you've got to help me. And this is the typical scene where the private detective would strap on his gun and say, there, citizen, I'll handle this. And my man, who is a private detective doing the type of jobs I did, taking pictures of cracks in the sidewalk, says, "I can't help you. I don't have a gun. I have a camera." And he sends the man away, and the man is subsequently killed, and he spends the rest of the book trying to atone for the fact that he wasn't as good as a fictional detective.
Now, you made your own detective, Stanley Hastings, a not very good detective. I mean, there's a great scene in your new novel where he does this whole Perry Mason thing in which he gives the motive and the killer, and of course it's all wrong. He gets it right later, but the first time around he doesn't get it right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, why did you make him a less than showy, fantastic detective?
What I tried to do was make him real, and that's basically the difference between what I'm writing and most fictional private detectives is that my detective is a real person and he has the problems that a real person would confront in any given situation. For instance, in one of the books, he's often dealing with locked doors. And his problem is, he says, you know, a TV detective would be able to pick this lock, and failing that, he'd kick the door down. I have none of these talents. If a door is locked, I can't get in.
What kind of writing had you failed at before you became a detective?
What I'd failed at largely was screenwriting. I'd been relatively successful. I mean, I'd sold several screenplays and actually made a living at it for a while. And then I had the misfortune of getting one of them produced, which is probably the worst experience a writer can ever go through in his life. And it was less than a year after my first one was produced that I was working as a private detective.
The one that was produced, was that Chud?
That was Chud, yes, which is rather embarrassing. Saturday Night Live satirizes it occasionally. But my script for Chud in 1980 went to AFCO Embassy, which they, you know, nobody in Hollywood reads these things. They have somebody read them and they get coverage, you know, a single page that says what the plot is and what the prospects are. My coverage on Chud, the original script, said, "This is the best written horror movie I have ever read for AFCO Embassy. The characters are three-dimensional, witty and likable. We really care what happens to them. I see a lot of money in this." They turned it down. That's their right, but what would it have had to say to get them to take it? And then when the movie finally did get produced, the actors walked on the set and said any damn thing they felt like it, and the plot and the wit and everything went right out the window. But that's Hollywood. That's what I love about writing the books, is what I write is what you read.
Now, Chud, I should say, stands for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers.
That was not my idea.
It was not?
That was handed to me by a producer, and I was told to write it.
So what was your idea?
The whole movie was not my idea. I'd done three movies for this producer. And, you know, naively, I came to him and said, "Which one are you going to do first?" He said, "Well, I'm going to do a horror movie called Chud." I said, "Why would you do that? The ones I've done for you." One was a script Cary Grant had once owned as a star vehicle for himself. Another was an Ira Levin novel. "Why would you do something about cannibals living in the sewers of New York?" He said, "That's because that's the one I can get the money for." And it wasn't mine. It was somebody else's script. And he came back to me and he said, "I have one problem. I can get the money for this, but I don't dare show the script to anybody. Can you rewrite it for me?" And I read it and I said, "No." And he came back to me 2 months later and he said, "Write anything. Call it Chud. Make it stand for cannibalistic. The money is there." You know, and I did it for him as a favor, and I've been living it down ever since.
Writer Parnell Hall is my guest. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Parnell Hall. He writes the Stanley Hastings mystery novels. In your new novel, Actor, the failed actor-turned-detective gets a phone call at the beginning telling him that...
Telling him that an actor has just dropped dead 2 days before the opening of Arms and the Man, and his old college chum wants him to step into the role that he did 20 years ago because he presumably knows the lines. Of course, he's forgotten them all, and who wouldn't they after 20 years? But that's how he gets dragged into it.
Did you used to dream of such a call?
I used to have the actor's nightmare. I dreamed of the call, yes, that would happen. It never happened to me. What did happen to me is that when I was an actor, I got called in to do a role on 4 hours' notice, and it was in our town, and it was a part of Mr. Webb, which I had not even seen in rehearsal, and he starts off by doing a two-page monologue to the audience. He comes out, he's alone on stage, and he just talks to the audience. And I sat there and I memorized that. And I've often had the actor's nightmare of being on stage in a play that I've never rehearsed in which I don't know the lines. And this was that nightmare come true. But I went out and I did it, and it went well, and it got laughs, and I got through it. And by the end of the play, in Act 3, which we never got to rehearse, my daughter in the play is leading me around by putting pressure in the back of my neck and poking me in different directions, and I'm ducking my head off stage and peeking at the script and saying lines. And I got through it, and I've never had the nightmare again.
Now, while we're on the subject of your illustrious acting career, you were in a movie that your character was in as well. It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger film called Hercules in New York, a film I must admit I have never heard of.
You know what? No one has ever heard of it. Everybody thinks his first movie was Pumping Iron, but he made this back in 1969. And I had never seen it up until a couple of weeks ago, actually. But it came out on video cassette, and I ordered a copy. And just the week before it arrived at the video store, it was on CBS Late Night, and I taped it. So now I have it on tape twice. And it's one of the most embarrassing things in the world. I wear a leopard skin suit, and I'm standing outside a movie theater with a chariot buying a hot dog from a soubrette vendor. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, a very young Arnold Schwarzenegger, comes running out of the theater. And while I'm buying the hot dog, he steals my chariot and drives it off down Broadway. I see this, and I scream, "Come back with my chariot," and I chase him down Broadway. The soubrette's vendor yells, "You forgot your sauerkraut," and chases me down Broadway. This ends, believe it or not, in the middle of Central Park. I finally lose the chariot and everything, and the hot dog vendor puts the sauerkraut on the hot dog. End of scene. It's on my resume.
That's why I knew about it.
Well, also, I used it as the basis for my book, Juror. I gave that all of that exposition to Stanley Hastings, and it's the reason that he gets called for jury duty. And it was the reason that I got called for jury duty also. You know, you're exempt from jury duty if you're the sole proprietor of your business, and you can prove it by your tax record. Well, I was, except because that played on late night TV, a $40 residual attached to my tax record came through on a W-2. And if you have one W-2, you're not self-employed, and you have to serve, and that happened to me.
So this movie, Hercules in New York, it was supposed to be a comedy?
It was supposed to be a comedy, yeah. It was. Some of it would have been high camp if they left it alone, but the producers knew that that his voice would just not do, so they dubbed it.
They dubbed Schwarzenegger's voice.
They dubbed Schwarzenegger, yeah, because otherwise, you have struck Hercules. It was great. It was just, you know, wonderful, but they couldn't let it alone. Also, they knew the name Schwarzenegger would never go, so they changed his name to Arnold Strong, largely so that... they had the co-star Arnold Stang, the guy who used to do the Chunky commercials, and that way they could have Arnold Strong and Arnold Stang in Hercules in New York.
Would you like to get together with Schwarzenegger and reminisce about old times?
I'm sure he'd be delighted.
Yeah. So was his part bigger than yours? Was he Hercules?
He was. Oh, no, this was
his
first
vehicle.
Movie. This
yeah.
was his vehicle. He was Hercules. He was, you know, they got him in there and ripped his shirt off in every scene they possibly could and had him, you know, doing feats of whatever.
Well, I like this. Well, your big movie credit in acting was Hercules in New York, and in screenwriting it was Chud.
Yeah. Yes, it's a distinguished career. It's no wonder I'm a writer.
Parnell Hall's new novel is called Actor. This is Fresh Air.